Just when you thought fantasy football was gonna be fun, I, week two, came and put an end to your excitement because week two brought the pain.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what just happened. That was crazy. Probably my deepest, darkest internal thoughts coming alive. I don't know what came over me, but this is the Full Tilt Dynasty podcast. I am the host of the most honest hands, Thomas Tipple. Again, I don't know what that was. Jacob Sanderson joining me as always. Lucas is back in the house, and the pain was real this week. And Nick Chubb, man, that injury. Shout out to the guys not showing that a second time in the broadcast. That was a plus move for once. And also shout out for them absolutely shitting all over Deshaun Watson. Like, as at every opportunity, it was phenomenal. It's Tuesday night, which means there can only be one place for you to be. That's hanging out with us in season. As I retake the lead in the player picks, which we will get today, we are going to go back through our value game with Jacob. And we have some running backs to talk about, some rookies to talk about, and I can't wait. I want to get started. Look, I took an absolute drumming in the league of record, and it was by our man Austin, and it was not expected, but I got absolutely pummeled. I am licking my wounds. It's been probably one of the weirdest. I feel like we say it every year. It's one of the weirdest starts to a football season we've ever seen. We get robbed of Anthony Richardson having potentially like four or five rushing touchdowns alone. It was just a weird week. Shout out Bindles. He's hopping in with us. You can check Bindles out. Hey, Bindles' YouTube channel. He's doing his own stuff out there now. So hit that sub 100%. Lucas, Jacob, I'm fired up and sad, but I'm mostly just fired up. How did it feel, Jacob, to see our guy of the offseason, Nico Collins? Basically, Randy Moss this weekend.
That was sick. I mean, look, I took Stroud and I think Schultz, and I wanted Nico Collins before you snapped him up last week on the show because I just knew that Houston was going to throw all over this Colts secondary. On the DFS show, I made him my flag plan. I think I played him in every lineup. It was pretty tilting, honestly, because I finished 18 points out of first place in my single entry DFS lineup this week. I was top 20 with Richardson, which was really annoying because if he had stayed in, we had Richardson, Nico, Pittman, Puka, McCaffrey, Kirk. So that part was tilting, but watching Nico ball was sick. He was the old, you know, the Shanahan offense, X receiver running the deep in routes. It felt like I was back in like 2011 again, watching, Andre Johnson come across the formation. It was pretty nice to see from our boy, Nico Collins.
I think it's pretty clear who the one is, who the two is.
Is it clear to the Texans? Because he's still not running the most routes, and it's kind of driving me a little bit nuts. Like, they're scheming their whole offense around him when he's there. And he's the only one providing explosive plays. I don't know why he's not running more routes. And it's, I guess, like mildly concerning. But I have to think they eventually just do the thing, right? It's like pretty clear who's the one making the thing go right now.
Well, he has the most first read targets. Like, that's, to me, that's why I'm not as concerned. But like another receiver we're going to talk about later, he's actually lining up out wide. I think a lot of people think he's kind of being benefit of a slot, but he's winning outside. He has a 78.1% wide rate. He's only running routes in the slot at a meager 21.9% rate, but he has 18.5 expected fantasy points per game. Like, he has an expected fantasy points per game at a number that A.J. Brown just didn't hit. His 18 points per game, A.J. Brown hasn't hit it. Nico Collins right now is playing at a level that we've never seen A.J. Brown even hit in his actual fantasy.
Specifically compared him to Andre Johnson, but we're not going to say he's playing at a level that A.J. Brown
is. Wait. Are you saying that A.J. Brown's better than Andre? I feel like
he's He's not quite AJ Brown or Andre Johnson.
I'm just messing with you, but
the utilization is incredible.
I am
so gross.
He just almost quit the show.
Oh,
gosh.
Look, I'm obviously kidding. I'm honestly kidding. But there's Team John Mechie, Scott Barrett. He has one first read look. Even Xavier Hutchinson, like Noah Brown, Dalton Schultz is getting nothing in this offense, which we kind of should have expected. Even Tank Dell is looking pretty good. Very surprised with Robert Woods. But Nico Collins is quite probably the best guy.
I'm not that surprised with the Robert Woods thing. Like, I'd be surprised if this is happening in week 12. But we see this where, like, veteran players early in the season, they got the fresh legs, and they're the ones that the coaches are trusting with all the routes. And so you're going to, you know, you're getting Robert Woods' best weeks of the season right now, you know, and they're throwing a million passes. If Robert Woods was still doing this week 8, week 9, week 10, I would be surprised. But, you know, can old man Woods get it up in the morning for September to go run some 7-yard shallow crosses? Yeah, you can.
Well, I mean, there's pills to help him get there. Yeah. But just for the record, AJ Brown's expected fantasy points per game, he's 22nd at 15.4.
And what's his points lost on Rashad Penny holding?
It's weird. Fantasy points data just has an infinity symbol there, so that's where he's sitting. But no, he's obviously phenomenal. Now, we used to play this game on this show, and I feel like tonight's a good time to bring it back. We used to play Ripley's Believe It or Not, and I'm going to say, I'm going to ask on to you. Do we believe this Nico Collins run for the rest of the year, or do we not? Like, to me, I'm willing to believe this because this defense is going to be, they're going to be behind. And so the targets should be there and Stroud should get better. But we also know rookie quarterbacks don't really produce elite receivers. So it's very hard to say. But I'm going to ask you guys, do you believe it or do you not?
Give me something to measure it against. Like, either give me a player or a points per game or like a finish or what would you trade for him? Like, give me something that I can qualify my belief.
Are you going to believe, okay, I'll put it to you this way. You're going to believe that he's going to be a top 18 wide receiver in points per game the rest of the year?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe that. I would be thrilled and I will still take credit, but I don't believe it.
Do you see him averaging over 8 targets a game rest of the year?
That's a lot, because that basically, like, so I think coming into the year, I think I projected him at like a 21% target share, which, like,
that's, I mean, awesome. Whatever, Stroud's throwing 91 passes right. those first, I mean, two
I
games.
I remember like, I think it was on Scott's show. I can't remember. It was on somebody's show where I was like, we were on Scott's Bear Show. Remember what? I think it was for sure Scott. And I said, I didn't think he was going to see 130 targets this year.
Yeah.
And, or 120. And people were like, how is that possible? And I was like, going through the math of how I thought it was actually viable. Is that 8 targets a game? I don't know. It's like right around it, right? It's right in the neighborhood. That's where I think he's going to live. He's going to be between 20 to 23% target share on probably a 35 to 40% air yard share. And the team is going to probably have to keep throwing. They're probably going to throw less than they did the first 2 weeks, just because, even, you know, that might be most of the weeks. It won't happen literally every week that they're behind by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, but it'll happen a lot. So I don't know. Let's say Stroud finishes the season averaging like 36 pass attempts per game. I think Collins could feasibly see in the 8 neighborhood.
Okay. So then I'll finish this off with, what are we willing to pay for Nico Collins at this point?
Yeah,
because they don't have the draft capital to go out and get a high-end wide receiver next year.
I don't
see them spending up on another veteran wide receiver unless they go and throw the bag at, say, a T. Higgins. So, which is a possibility and would be a smart move for them to just throw a bunch of money at T. Higgins. But this is the Texans, and we don't think they're hashtag smart with football.
I think that T. Higgins is going to get tagged and traded. Like, I just can't imagine that the Bengals would just let him walk to free agency for nothing. And I'm sure that a team would be willing to pay on a tag and trade deal. So I think the Texans won't be able to get him just based on that.
Right.
If he does make it to free agency, like, I think he probably sets the all-time record for a receiver contract, because, like, not that he's the best receiver in the league or anything, but he would be the best receiver that has come out in full-on free agency at this age in a very long time, and would projectably be the best receiver to come out into free agency at that age for a very long time. Like, I could see a team just being like, we can never get a player like this without spending a first-round pick to do it, or drafting them ourselves. So we'll happily pay more than what he's worth just for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Like, I could see some silly team like the Texans with a team on rookie quarterback, or the Panthers, being like, here's $32 million a year. Like,
he is the next wide receiver two for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, enough. Why? So
we're calling it right now. Like, that's
wide receiver
that's
two happened. For the Bears.
Wide receiver two.
DJ Moore, baby.
Oh, you're out. You're
T.
done.
Higgins to alpha DJ Moore so hard.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
You want to talk DJ Moore statistics? It's not going to be pretty.
From the biggest DJ Moore truther that's out there?
Have you not, Lucas? Okay.
I was gone for a long time. I remember the 45% target or 45% ownership.
But last
share.
Year, we started talking about how, look, if it's not Sam Darnold, you can't play DJ Moore. Like, it's not, it's just proven now. I say it every week on this program. You guys laugh at me.
He had a good week last week.
Yeah, he
okay.
did.
Play off for 1 week.
Justin Fields has been dog water, which is alarming. But we don't have enough time to talk about Justin Fields today, or else we'll be here for 7 hours.
Well, talking about DJ Moore, would you either take DJ Moore or Nico Collins in a second?
I'd take Nico
in a two, for sure.
That's probably a trade you could potentially do.
I think you should.
I definitely agree. You're looking at two wide receivers who will probably finish in the wide receiver three range, but you're getting one who, that, I mean, their age difference isn't
but if Nico plays 16, 17 games, I can't see Nico not being a wide receiver too. I just can't do it. I think he has Deontay Johnson-esque potential in turn, like last year's Deontay Johnson, sans not having any touchdowns. Like, I think he has that wide receiver two ability to start the year if he plays that. We have Play Naked asking Myers in a second question mark.
For
or Nico.
Nico? Unless you're telling me it's like locked into the 201, I'm definitely taking Nico.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
I pretty much buy Nico for anything that's less than a first right now. Like, I don't think I could get in on first round pick unless it's like maybe, I don't even know what situation. Like, it would have to be like the first round pick of like the best team in the league that's ever created, and probably also not in 2024. And I would need to like really need a receiver, I guess. I don't know. It would take a lot just where it's not worth it. Right. But anything less than a first round pick, I would just go ahead and take Nico.
Right. I would trade a lot of running backs for him as well. Like, at this point, he's just a buy. I think we can just end on he's just a buy across the board, even though Myers looked like a dog.
That's great.
For Vegas before he got absolutely deleted, abracadabra concussioned at the end of that game. That was nasty. All right, that was Nico Collins. I mean, we could talk Nico Collins all day. We've been waiting for this victory lap a little bit. We kind of earn it. So pat ourselves on the back there for Nico. Let's get depressing here for a minute.
God.
Nick Chubb's leg exploded. In a very weird hit, a lot of my dynasty teams could be heard screaming in the background and crying. And every time I go, man, I was really in on Jerome Ford all off season. I probably have a bunch of them. And I go to Dynasty Planet and I type in and I go, oh, I only have 3 shares. Well, let's find out where he is. And it all just says RTDB beside his name in every league because Jacob already has him. So I want to lead in with that. Unfortunately, this looks like it could quite possibly be a career ender for Chubb. It's going to be very hard to see him come back from this. I don't want to say that, but I think at this point, if you can move off of him for literally anything, you should. I think it's kind of GG's. And Jerome Ford looked good. I mean, we can't deny it. He wasn't like a big college producer with Cincinnati, but he was good when he got the ball. and he looks good in this offense like almost every other running back. D'Ernest Johnson was looking like a guy people were like, yeah, we don't even need Nick Chubb. We have D'Ernest Johnson.
It's very good run blocking all line.
Yeah, it's just a good team with a good scheme. I mean, we got robbed of a Jerome Ford touchdown on the 1 yard line where Pierre Strong came in after.
Oh, it's on Watson's fault, by the way. He like had a really half assed block on the Steelers guy where he kind of shoves him and then like walks away. And then that Steeler, after getting like minorly impeded by Watson, winds up chasing down Ford. If Watson just finishes his block, it's a touchdown.
Yeah, it's Minka. It was crazy. He definitely had a shot. But let's talk about Jerome Ford rest of the season. Is this a situation you obviously can't copy and paste Nick Chubb's production, but I mean, I can see 75% of Nick Chubb's production coming out of Jerome Ford, which is obviously a massive W for any team that didn't have him. My question is, are you trying to buy Jerome Ford?
Yeah, I am, especially, I mean, I think people are not sold on Ford, which is reasonable. Day three running back with like had 8 carries in the NFL last year for 12 yards. So I get it. But to me, this is kind of the like, there's not that many situations that are the classic Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison, one goes out, one comes in type situation anymore in the NFL. Like, think about, you know, Saquon Barkley gets hurt. Nobody's like leading their shows off with Matt Breida takes, right? But this is kind of one for me where, like, of course you cannot replicate Nick Chubb. He is the best running back in the league, one of the best running backs I've ever had the privilege of watching. I hope he makes the Hall of Fame. But from a fantasy perspective, we have seen it happen, and we've seen them be pretty consistent with how they distribute the roles, which is like they want one guy to carry the ball a lot and play about 65% of the snaps, and the other guy's going to play some third downs. And it seems like their only basis for deciding those roles is like, who's our rusher? And then we play the other guy on third down. It's like, it's not like they've even necessarily had great pass catchers play that role. Ford was playing that role for Chubb. And then as soon as Chubb goes out, Ford flips into the Chubb role and Strong flips into the Ford role. You know, we've seen D'Ernest Johnson take on that role at times when Kareem Hunt has missed. So I think they kind of have their backfield set. I think that they know what they need to have behind this offensive line, which is an absolute engine and a really effective running back scheme. And I think that they showed a lot of faith in Ford this offseason, right? They could have brought back Hunt. They could have brought back D'Ernest Johnson. People were like, oh, you know, Kareem Hunt would have demanded too much. Are we sure? Because he's still unemployed. So I'm not entirely sure how much he would have demanded.
And cooked.
Let's even say that he would have demanded, you know, too much. They could have had D'Ernest Johnson for nothing, right? They let him walk completely. They could have had him for probably the veteran minimum. I think that's what he's playing on in Jacksonville. So to me, it's pretty telling that they gave Ford this opportunity. I think that they'll let him run with it. And yeah, interesting player. Like maybe not the most spectacular prospect in the world, but he has size and he has athletic juice. And to me, he showed enough ability to execute the system that they want him to execute that, yeah, I don't see why he can't be like a 15 points per game guy. To me, he's like a supercharged version of the rest of these dead zone running backs. Like if you look at like a Rashad White or an Alex Mattison or Miles Sanders or like most of these guys, Ford is that, but in the best offensive environment of all of them. And I'm legitimately kind of pumped to start the rest of the season. And you could probably get them for cheaper than some of those guys, because for some of them, they might be looking at these guys as like, I guess, more established based on their priors, but none of these guys are really established. And Nick Chubb is not, you know, going to be on the team next year. He's easily movable at this point in time with his injury. I don't know when he's playing football again, if ever. So I think you have an analytically forward front office, probably not going to be inclined to spend a lot of the position. I think Ford has a chance to actually lay his claim as a multi-year starter this year. So I'm very excited about buying Ford for anything mid two or later. And I don't think you're crazy if you send like early two level value for Ford, although that's probably my break point.
So before he was drafted, if you were doing your rookie drafts before the NFL draft, he was going as a second round pick. Everybody really liked his athleticism coming out of Cincinnati. He was a highly touted recruit whenever he initially went to Alabama. He has 4.45 speed, I mean, he has a lot of things to really like. He is very much more of a straight line athlete, which matches up really well with Cleveland's run game. And he was kind of left for dead last season just because there was really no space for him on that roster, at least at the running back position. And also, it really sucks being a 6th round pick. But right now, you know, you have to be excited. You know, we're seeing all over Twitter or X or whatever the heck this stupid app is called at this point.
The amateur porn site.
Apparently. Gosh. But everybody's making jokes about spending 100% of their fab this week in order to go get Jerome Ford. I mean, and
you should.
Yeah, you should be spending whatever you can. It really sucks right now if you are on a priority-based waiver system and you started 2-0 and you know that 0-2 team is automatically getting someone who will most likely finish in the top 16 at the position in fantasy points per game. That's a real bummer, but you know, you live with it. We're going to keep going. If you have fab, spend your fab on Jerome Ford.
If and you're in priority-based waiver league, stop. Just stop. It's not too late to change it. You can change it now. Just stop it.
Yeah. And once again, it sucks so bad to see Nick Chubb go down like this. I was at the game in college where he blew out his knee on the first play on special teams. And you know it's bad whenever you get a whole stadium of people getting sick whenever they're showing the replay on the Jumbotron. Like that just, you know, it sucks. Really hate to see it again, especially whenever you know he doesn't have that long-term security for the running back position. So hashtag figure out a way to pay running backs. But yeah,
that's a whole, you know, that's a whole podcast. Like that'll be one day we're gonna do a whole podcast on that.
It just sucks, but yeah, Jerome Ford, really like him for the rest of the season. I completely agree with what Jacob said, spending a mid to late second on him if you can. And he does have value outside of the season, at least right now. You should be able to sell him at the end of the season if you just aren't completely sold about future prospects. So, yeah, go ahead and get him.
Yeah, he's definitely a buy. That's Jerome Ford. And also, again, we're going to pour one out for Tom Lee's favorite running back ever. So we're going to pour one out. Hopefully that's not the last we see, but it might be. Let's talk about another running back who might be dead, not due to injury, but just because he might be the slowest running back I've ever seen try to run the football that wasn't like Mike Sellers. Because Najee Harris looks like he needs to be playing fullback. He looks just unable. He had the one run in last night's game where it kind of broke down left, and he barreled it back right, and it looked like he was ready to go out of bounds 5 yards shorter than where he did. Like it looked slow. He just looks lethargic. The whole point for Najee Harris and his upside was his volume, and the volume's not even there. The targets aren't there. The carries aren't there. The touches just aren't there, and this offense looks so bad. So bad. George Pickens gets a huge play on a blown zone coverage. That's their big play of the night. George Pickens truthers celebrate. Pickett is back, and Baby Hands goes on to do absolutely nothing. He's killing Pat Freiermuth. He's killing the running game. This team is bad. The offensive line is bad. The defense scored 2 touchdowns. That was their production. I don't see it getting any better. It's not like they play in a cupcake division as well.
No.
So you're going to have tough games there. There's no way to defend. If someone in the chat, in the comments, on this program, in this panel right now, defend Najee, because at this point he looks like the biggest get out now. He looks worse than cooked Zeke, and cooked Zeke is like being forced to order 4 New York strips well done and eating them without H1. It's bad. It's brutal. So is he just toast? Like, is and then
he's
next.
Gonna, I mean, he's gonna keep playing, right? Like we, you know, he's gonna have like his undead phase, right? We declared Zeke dead a while ago, and he like was dead, in a sense. But he still like lingered on as an RB2 in fantasy for a few more years. And yeah, I mean, Najee Harris plays the Raiders this week. So I'm going to choose a different week to sing my Requiem for Najee Harris because I don't want to have this clip on fantasy receipts when Najee Harris has 21 carries for 69 yards and 3 touchdowns this week. But I think that it's the dream of Najee Harris, like, becoming the workhorse again and becoming the prince who was promised again, that dream I think is dead. I don't think he's gonna like fade from our lives, but like if you have Najee Harris now, it's like you just have a less talented Brian Robinson.
No, I agree, and we're gonna talk about Brian Robinson later, but then Derek is in the chat here talking about Jaylen Warren being better than Najee. Is it just that Jaylen Warren's good or Najee looks so fucking bad that anyone else could?
I like Jaylen Warren a lot, and it's like kind of against the brand for me to be like skeptical of the underappreciated young running back trying to take the job of the crappy guy. But like, you know, this is kind of the thing where like not every running back in this situation is Tony Pollard. The thing that Najee player people say about Jaylen Warren is kind of true. Like they'll be like, oh, he gets a 16-yard draw play on 3rd and 24, and like that is factually accurate. Like he does get that a lot, actually. He definitely has more juice than Najee Harris. I'm pretty sure he's better. Do I think he's like an independently awesome running back? I personally wouldn't say I don't think he is. I just don't know if he is. Like we haven't seen him get the opportunity in the NFL to see a workload that has a high proportion of difficult touches. He's so far gotten a proportion of easy touches. He's certainly done nothing to show me that he can't be awesome. I've been impressed every time I've watched him. I just think he hasn't yet like overcome the burden of proof for me where I'm leaping out. But it's possible. I would really like to see him get a few weeks. Like if Najee can just have like a very small injury that doesn't impact like his long-term health or something, then I would like to see him more of a chance, and then I could feel more certain about it. He looks good to me.
He just needs to stub his toe. I think that's, you know, no excuse for Najee or Kenny Pickett and his little dick beaters. Oh, my goodness. That's Trav right there, baby. New York strips dipped in ketchup. That's well done, New York strips dipped in ketchup equals Najee. And I think we actually got that. Lucas, thoughts on Najee Molasses Harris?
I'll give you all credit. During the pre-draft process, whenever Najee Harris was originally coming out of Alabama, I was very high on him.
We were the OG Najee haters on this program.
Yeah, I'll give you all that much credit. He looked really good in college because he was a fourth-year senior who was 230-plus pounds and can absolutely truck some 18-year-old out on the boundary. Like, maybe I should have expected that. It's still really impressive to see at the collegiate level. Doesn't necessarily translate to the NFL. And while he was a good athlete coming out, he wasn't good enough to make up for not being a good running back.
Like I said it in the pre-draft process. I've said it every year since. Najee Harris was always just expensive James Conner. And now I feel like I've been insulting James Conner this whole time in saying that. Like, James Conner's better, and we know that he's kind of slow and sluggish, but he just seems to be better. Like, I it's truly a phenomenon. Derek says he's never should have gone undrafted. Jaylen Warren was second only to Kenneth Walker in missed tackles force. All of these are facts, but like Jacob said, I would also like to see him get a little bit of an extended run before I call him the next Tony Pollard.
His efficiency numbers are amazing. Like it's right awesome to look at. You really have to look at in the same aspect though as Najee Harris's efficiency numbers, which are terrible and make you really sad. Right. So you know, like you all keep saying, it'd be awesome for him to have his own opportunity to see him as a standalone back and try to get more context to all of the numbers that are coming out about it. Make sure that nothing's like too crazy. I don't think he's Tony Pollard, but he is still a really good back.
I buy that he's good. Like, I'm just not, I don't want to project my hatred of Najee into like fitting Jalen Warren for a gold jacket.
There we go. Yeah.
But I do think he's like a legitimately good running back. Like, if he was, I'll put it this way. Like, if Jalen Warren got his shot right now, we knew nothing else about him except that like Najee Harris was out for the rest of the year. Like, I would feel a lot stronger about Warren as like a prove it play coming in, certainly, than I did about like a Madison or a Rashad White coming into this year. Yep. And I'm already more excited about Ford than those guys. And I'd be even more excited about Warren than Ford. Like, he would be of basically all of the running backs who are like clear RB2s, although it's getting less clear, and have like never really proven that they can do it on an NFL workload, he would be the one I'm most optimistic about.
He's somewhere between Samaje Perine and Tony Pollard. Like, Perine is
a lot of room between
that. I know, but like, Perine is a decent RB2. He's not the worst. Okay. There are worse RB2s out there. But it's not like what peak Pollard was last season before he usurped Ezekiel Elliott.
I'll say he's closer to Javonte Williams than he is Tony Pollard. Is probably what I would say.
Yeah.
I think there's a big gap between Pollard and
Javonte. Breaks tackles in the receiving game. I can see that.
Yeah. So I think he's closer to Javonte than he would be Pollard's upside. I just think we're so quick to crown and anoint the next Pollard that we might be jumping the gun a little bit, but I'm willing to buy. I'm willing to buy Warren at almost the same price I'm willing to buy Ford, because I think they have the same kind of risk where they could either be smashes or they could end up giving you nothing, but I think it's worth it.
Do you guys think there's like any chance that he actually just winds up as the lead back over the year? I don't, barring injury. I think that the best we're going to hope for is it's going to be like a 50-50 this year. It's kind of like what happened with the Pollard and the Zeke, right? It's like it slowly scaled. It was like it went from Pollard literally never plays to he has a package of plays to he has a legitimate role on the team to he's now basically the co-starter. Like it gets, and then eventually they let Zeke walk and now it's like all Pollard. But right. Yeah, I think the most likely scenario for Warren is, you know, this year he stays as like he never starts a game, but maybe by the end of the year he plays like 48% of the snaps to Najee's 52 and he has more catches. And, you know, next year we'll see. That's going to be interesting because they still have one more year that they're stuck with Najee. I can't possibly imagine they're going to pick up his fifth year option or extend him beyond that. But
no,
I don't know if they have the balls to just full on CEH it, where it's just like, we're done with this Jamoke. I hope that they do. I just like my read is that they don't.
I forgot how much D-Bro loved Jalen Warren. Just based off the last 2 weeks and seeing nothing but Puka Nacua all over his Twitter timeline.
Right.
Which congrats on calling that. That's really fun.
Right away. Yeah. I think people are miscategorizing Puka, and we're going to talk about that. Talked about this with Jake Tribby on Monday night. But best, he's saying that's that he's closer to Eckler than he is Pollard. And I can't see that, but
I can kind of see the Eckler thing. Yeah. Undrafted, small, compact, great pass catcher.
Yeah, I call me a skeptic when you hit the Eckler Pollard range.
I'm also kind of like an Eckler hater, so like my like idea of what Eckler is as a real life player is probably not most people's idea.
It's crazy that you are an Eckler hater because he's just nothing but good when he's on the field, and you're still.
He's awesome for fantasy. He's awesome for fantasy. I just like he would never be in my ranking of top 10 real life.
He just defies everything.
I don't think he's like a fantasy spam, which is like great. Like he's like the he's like the, you know, he's an absolute incredible
okay, look,
fantasy running back. I just from a real life running back perspective, he just tilts me. That's all. I just don't right. think he's like actually.
I want to correct what Derek's saying here. Derek, I know you and I, we've gotten to know each other more like this season specifically, and I love that. One thing you'll learn about me is I don't give a fuck about my Ravens fandom when it comes to my fantasy football. Like, I am the most down-to-earth Ravens fan, in my opinion, that exists. I call them out when they're ass. I like when they're good, but I'm skeptical. I don't just hoard Ravens players on my fantasy teams. If a player is just hashtag good, I will buy in. So I appreciate that, but I'm not that's not why. Like Jacob mentioned earlier, I want to see the little bit of run to give me a little more evidence, because the boxes that he's facing, the situations that he's in, I would like to see the whole picture. Okay, that's all I'm asking. Before I go, he's Tony Pollard or Austin Eckler, I would like to see a little bit more than jumping in that far. I am buying. I'm just kind of buying it the same 1 foot in, 1 foot out that I am with Ford right now. So, but while Derek's here, let's talk about Puka Nacua. Because I feel like people are assuming he's taking Cooper Kupp's role, and he's not. He's taking Robert Woods' old role, and we're going to talk about why. With his 20 targets this week, which was fucking crazy, 20 targets, you would think with everything you see on the amateur porn site X that he would be in the slot and he is Cooper Kupp and this is his role. He's not. His first read looks are phenomenal. He has 26 already, which is far and away the best. Also, shout out to Jacob's sleeper a couple of years ago, Tutu Atwell, who looks like he is yeah. here. But
can't say that I'm still holding the bags. Fortunately, yeah. he's there's been a lot of press the drop button on Tutu since 2021. So
right, but
you know, I'm never wrong just early, but also wrong in between those two things.
Phenomenal. But his outside rate is 70.6 right now, and. Derek Brown says he isn't in the slot because Tutu can't play outside. Well, you'd be surprised to know that Tutu Atwell is a 61.8% wide snap percent as well. Tutu only has a 38.2% slot rate. It is Ben Skowronek and Van Jefferson and DeMarcus Robinson playing in the slot. So when Cup comes back,
Van Jefferson. Not my boy Van Jefferson.
So when this is what I think is going to happen when Cooper Kupp comes back. I think Cooper Kupp comes back to his Cooper Kupp role inside, and I think Puka stays exactly where he is. I think he stays on the outside, and I think we see the rebirth of the Cooper Kupp Robert Woods tandem in the Goff yeah. years, and that's what I see moving forward.
And Tutu is the Watkins Cooks.
Yes.
Van. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. So I think we're getting that rebirth of the offense, and Matthew Stafford just looks so fucking back.
Right.
He looks.
When this offense is really clicked, there's multiple.
Yeah. Exactly. Derek gets it.
Exactly, Derek. Yeah. He's the Cooks, right?
Like, he's staying outside.
You go back, it's like they've had years where they've had three. Like legitimate receivers. They had the Kupp, Woods, Cooks year. And then they've had, you know, even they had 1 year where it was Kupp and Woods were clearly the two ahead of time, but Watkins was still like a viable part of the offense. And then same with Van Jefferson and Stafford's first year. They're going to consolidate it. It's going to be the 11 personnel. Rams, we're back. It's going to be fun. We got the two guys running the crossers, right? We got Kupp. We got Puka running the backside digs. We've got Tutu running the posts and the corners. It's going to be fun times. Stafford is back. That's my can I say that is my favorite thing of the whole season is watching this Matthew Stafford renaissance.
Yeah,
I never thought that we would get to watch prime Matthew Stafford slinging it around the lot again. And I don't know how long it's going to last, but I am considering the Rams absolute must-see TV for the rest of the season because it's awesome that we get to watch Stafford with the fountain of youth just slinging it to these young wide receivers. It's so much fun.
His arm looks all the way back, and I think it shows that Sean McVay is just one of the best coaches in the NFL, because this guy's taking a roster that got universally shit on. I think they were last at every position group on defense except for interior defense.
That's line. Ridiculous.
Like, his offensive line
don't believe their own line is good.
Right, and their offensive line is garbage. We're going to get to another player on this offense, Kyren Williams, because we have to at this point.
Yeah.
But he's just scripting this team very well, and I've seen a lot of Cup is a systems wide receiver, and I think that's fucking crazy. And you and I talked about this a little bit on the X, where you believe it to like a 0.1%. But Cup is just really fucking good at football.
Oh.
But that's not saying that Puka isn't as well. I mean, Derek's saying he had a third and back end round two grade on Puka. I know fantasy points, film guru Brett Whitefield also very in on Puka Nacua, so I'm now going to be listening even closer going into my next year's draft. But
yeah, what I mean by the Cup as a system wide receiver, like, I wasn't the one saying it. I was like lol, 0.1% believe it. What I mean by the 0.1% is just that this offense is really unique in the types of things that it looks for from its receivers. And I mean, the people that were really on Puka, you know, Derek, one, Matt Harmon brought this up too, was like, he can run these in-breaking intermediate routes that Robert Woods used to bring to the offense. And Kupp is kind of a similar guy where, like, what he does best fits this offense so well. You see how the NFL is evolving. Where do we want to be attacking against these cover two shells repeatedly to the middle of the field? And he goes and he finds himself these guys that play perfectly in this role. So like, Cooper right. Kupp would be incredible anywhere, but I do think that he has like been absolutely maximized by McVay. And I think McVay has looked at other types of guys, you know, like Puka, and being like, what are some of the traits that I can get from this round five player that really fit what I've been able to do with Kupp and with Woods? And he looks like he's found himself a complete gem.
Right. And it looks like Stafford could play 3 years with this squad while they wait to get any first round picks back. But I think this is, this is going to be crazy. Hopefully we get to see some Nacua touchdowns, because right now he's kind of Deontay Johnsoning himself. He doesn't have an end zone target as far as I know.
It's the Robert Woods role, baby. Robert Woods used to have games that were like 12 catches, 115 yards, no touchdowns, like frequently. And I loved it. I'm a long time Bobby Trees fan before right. he became like, lost having, sad Bobby Trees.
Right. And I mean, Bobby Trees is a guy who's even producing now. So I mean, it's not like he can't have a long career as well. We're obviously buying, but what are we buying for? I've seen first round picks already.
I'm with the late first.
Okay, we're at the late first category, 25 firsts. I feel like
I'm not as okay with 25-1 unless I'm like a really stacked team. Like I would just a general take. Like, I'm much more comfortable moving late 24 ones from teams that like already look good now in the current year and are winning games than any 25 one.
All right. Going back to the same trade I was proposing for Nico Collins, how do you feel about him? Say comparison to say like a DJ Moore. Are you taking Puka straight up over DJ Moore right now?
Straight up over DJ Moore.
Okay.
Agreed. Yeah, I am out on DJ Moore, especially in this god awful Bears offense. Like I said, we don't have a podcast long enough to talk about how absolutely bad the offensive coordinator and coaches have been with Chicago / Fields being just unwilling to pull the trigger. If you want Justin Fields information, go watch JT O'Sullivan's.
Oh man, I watched that last night.
They are some of the most brutal and outright honest commentary on a player I think I've ever seen. Derek says I would need a 24-1 and probably a 25-second at least. I turned down a 25 first for Puka last week. God damn.
JSN or Puka Nacua?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm taking JSN. I mean, okay. I think
just what?
No, I agree.
No, it's a totally fair question.
I think it's a legitimate question. I think
I was thinking about throwing out Quentin Johnston, but I think
Oh,
you can find a lot of people who are taking Puka Nacua over Quentin Johnston right now.
I'm taking Puka Nacua over Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, agreed. I would take.
Puka
over Addison.
Part of the Quentin Brigade. Puka versus Addison is interesting. I think I would lean Addison.
Okay, interesting. If we just have there's a longer period of time for Addison to get alpha cucked by Jefferson than there might be with Puka getting alpha cucked by Cup. But if Sean McVay leaves, it's one of those situations where if McVay leaves, the thing stays the same. So this could be a situation, but he is also a seemingly hashtag good at football. So we are buying first are up, and we have guys in that DJ Moore range. I mean, if you're talking like Deontay for Puka, we're obviously taking Puka. Like those kind of wide receiver twos and wide receiver threes, I think we're just gambling on the upside.
What about Puka or Ayuk?
I'll take Ayuk. I would still take Ayuk.
I think I'm leaning Ayuk, but that's way tougher than I was expecting it to be.
If you asked me this question in week one, we're still taking Ayuk because he had the big game. So, I mean, I think at some point you kind of have to draw where's the fine line in the middle. Would you have taken prime Robert Woods over current Brandon Ayuk? I don't think I would have. I think Ayuk has...
Robert Woods scored a lot more points than Brandon Ayuk has scored.
Michael Pittman or Puka Nacua?
Oh, Puka by like a landslide. I mean, we went up to Ayuk, and you're going to bring me down to Michael Pittman Jr.
See, these are the two that I think are the closest for me is Pittman, Ayuk, and Puka. That's like, I have to update my rank this week because I'm doing the next series of we're doing an in-season Dynasty Rankings podcast with Davis and Pat on Friday morning. So that'll be up on the Full Tilt channel. But so I've updated my ranks, and he'll be in that group. I think Puka is going to be like, he'll be right behind Addison, and he'll either be right ahead of Ayuk and Pittman, or he'll be right behind Ayuk and Pittman. But that'll be in a tier.
Yep. Okay. I can't wait for that because I'm having a little bit of a hard time going all in. But I think you're right. I think people are going to be rewarded, and they're being rewarded. And I think you might be rewarded. Going in this early, this pod could be 3 hours long, so we gotta draw it. I want to talk about two more players before we do player picks, the value, and then our underdog and get out of here. Because again, I can talk with you guys for three straight hours, but we can't do that. Let's talk about is Brian Robinson good?
Yeah,
like is Brian Robinson just good, and is Antonio Gibson actually done for? Because I. On this program was the biggest Antonio Gibson fader out of the people on this program. So I'm going to take a little bit of a like, haha, I told you so, for what people were expecting out of him. The Christian McCaffrey stuff was fucking hilarious. But Brian Robinson last year took a lot of shit. Dude got shot, come back, took a little while. He looked a little sluggish. So he was easy to write off, but he's looking like a late round steal right now because he looks like the dude and he's catching some footballs, which is a very nice change, but it looks like Howell is operating this offense well. They're putting up some points. So I got to ask, is Brian Robinson just good?
I think he is just good. I mean, when I wrote about this backfield in the summer, it was late summer. I found myself getting, you know, far more optimistic on Robinson coming out of that. I think he's a legitimately sound runner. Like if you look at his percentage of rushes over expectation, especially relative to teammates, success rate relative to teammates, his qualitative grading, all that really pops. You know, when you watch him, it becomes clear, like he knows how to play running back. He did appear last year, certainly athletically limited, and struggled in the passing game. Well, I wouldn't even say struggle. I would say was not used at all in the passing game. So to me, it was kind of a guy where I was like, I think he's kind of better than everybody thinks. People just think he's a bag of shit. But it also just might never matter because he's not really good in the ways that matter for fantasy. But that I think I might have, you know, probably been too limited on how I saw him. He does not look athletically limited this year. And I guess that makes sense because he wasn't shot a month before the season this year. The receiver, he's never going to be Christian McCaffrey, but he could be David Montgomery. He could be James Conner. He could be Chris Carson. So I'm definitely like the Brian Robinson shares that I have. Once upon a time, I drafted like a ton of Brian Robinson in rookie draft only because nobody else wanted him. And I had always just been like, this guy just exists to hopefully trade for a future second round pick from a guy that I got in the third. And the ones that are still remaining, like, yeah, I'm actually not like trying to just like auto sell that. I think that this is like a legit thing. Antonio Gibson's a tautological talent. You know, like he's talented because we say he's talented. He was legitimately impressive as a rookie, but he has not been since then outside of the receiving game. Like as a runner, he has been legit bad for 2 years in a row since the rookie year. He's just not good at it. So Brian Robinson is the best running back on this team. I think that his role should only increase, not decrease. And pretty excited to see what happens for the rest of the year. He should be like an every week RB2.
Yeah, I think it's really impressive what Eric Bieniemy has done with this offense. And just the 2 weeks that we've seen so far, it looks really promising. And, you know, there weren't a lot of high expectations for Washington coming into the season, especially on the offensive end of all of this. Coming out of college, he was a fifth-year player who only started during his fifth year at Alabama, and he didn't look that impressive during that. Like, he looked solid but very unspectacular, just kind of like a guy who will go in there, he's not going to mess up, but he doesn't make you the game-winning play that everybody was so used to seeing with Najee the year beforehand. Bringing back Najee Harris for this, but
back around.
But yeah, if you were getting him at the third round of your rookie drafts, that's awesome. You held on to him up to this point, that's even better. And yeah, he looks so much better right now. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe I'm holding on to too much of the pre-draft process in my view of him at this point, but I am incredibly, incredibly impressed with him so far this season. And I can't wait to see more.
Okay, so then now that we've like seemingly liked every single player that we've talked about today, which is like a weird vibe for us, generally speaking, there's like more disagreements. Let's just run through just running backs real quick right now that seem to be on the rise. We've got Ford. We've got Jaylen Warren, Brian Robinson, Kyren Williams. Can we put them in order of who we're buying ahead of who? Because this seems like, sure. I think they are clustered together. I don't really value Robinson much higher or lower than the other guys. So I would be very interested to hear what you guys think. And in the comments, let us know, who are you ranking ahead? Is it Ford, Robinson, Kyren, or Warren for you guys? Let us know in the comments.
Robinson, Kyren, Warren.
Right.
It's interesting. You can go first if you want.
So my gut right now is to put Robinson, at least in dynasty formats, Robinson's at the first spot in that, followed very quickly by Warren, and then Ford and Kyren Williams. I'm still processing what's been happening with Kyren Williams. This is probably the least expected thing I saw coming into the season. I think he's what, the RB3 on the season so far, which is blowing my mind. Maybe I need to do a little self-check here and actually maybe consider that this is a realistic possibility that he's good.
I think it's a realistic possibility that he's going to be very useful for fantasy for the rest of the season. I am not convinced that he is good. Like, dead last in RYOE this week. I think he fits what they want to do, which is they want to pass the ball and they want a running back who can play in every situation so that the defense can't substitute when they stay in their 11 personnel package and they can continue to play at a fast pace. And I think that Kyren is good enough at his job that he allows their offense to run far more fluidly than when they're subbing someone on and off as a specialized runner. But I don't think that he's like actually a value adding rusher. It's just that the sum of the parts are better than the whole. It reminds me a lot of when the Bills turned to Devin Singletary as like a pseudo workhorse at times in 2021, when it was like, he's not actually adding that much, but he lets us run our offense much more effectively than interchanging guys on and off the field who are also frankly not that good.
I really like that analogy.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. Tom Lee, I paid a second for B-Rob before this week. Very happy. It's like younger James Conner. I could.
Conley would be the guy who sees the vision with a Brian Robinson. You know, every once in a while you fall for a Najee Harris, but then you make it up with a Brian Robinson.
I was talking to Tom Lee in the DMs for the FNL because we're trying to figure out running backs and quarterbacks because we're both getting hurt in the league of record. We were both laughing that he missed on Najee, but he dipped. He got out, so he's out.
Sure.
And then once again, Warren literally looks like Connor, same jersey number and everything. I think that's super funny. James Connor, a very, very good friend of the Full Tilt. We've relied on him a lot. So, Jacob, let's hear it. Let's rank him top to bottom.
Yeah, I would go Robinson, Ford, Kyren Warren.
Wow.
Yeah, I would
Warren
flip
at the bottom.
I would flip the bottom.
Okay, you're starting one of these guys this week, and he might score 20 points. Like that matters.
Again, if we're talking dynasty, I just don't think Kyren's actually good. Where Warren, I think, sure, has a better shot to gain more value after this season. So if I'm ranking him for dynasty, yeah, I got to put Warren ahead of Kyren.
When is Warren going to get the chance to have the season that Kyren is like projected to have this year, 2025?
That's true. Okay, I can see that.
Okay.
But again,
I'm not refuting that Warren is better than Kyren.
Okay.
Warren might be the best running back of all four you named, but like he is currently a backup, or at least a 1B, if you want to argue the 1B.
Okay.
Like, he's not like a good start. Like you're not, if you're starting Jalen Warren right now, you're not like loving life.
Mm-hmm. So let's say in a hypothetical world where we knock on wood and this doesn't happen, but let's say the minute something happens with Najee, do you just immediately put Warren ahead of Kyren then?
Oh, like,
is that all that's missing? So, okay, so we're going to put that it's Kyren ahead of Warren with an asterisk. Like, there's like a...
Of course, but I mean, you need to be really, really convicted about Warren as a talent to be like, I'm willing to play like a 2-year waiting game because one day I know it's coming. Like, you know, maybe if you're Derek and you're that convicted about him, you can do that, right? Like I was kind of like that with Pollard, but even with Pollard, like that was like my fucking guy. But my take on Pollard, people are like, well, when is it going to happen? It was always, I don't know. It was like, right, I didn't know that this season was ever going to happen. This season was not 100% going to happen. It was like, my take on Pollard was always, if he gets a shot, he's going to kill it. And I think it's possible he gets it. But like, I didn't know. There's a lot of running backs who never get a shot, right? Like it's, Warren might just be Duke Johnson, right? Like that's, you know, so I don't know. That would be my only pushback. It's like I have to be really convicted that a running back is like the truth to take a backup running back over a guy that you can currently plug in your lineup and get 15 points. I guess I'm not quite that convicted about Warren.
Okay. I think I like that. I think I still put. Fair enough. I really don't think Kyren's very good, and I 100% think it's my bias. It's my pre-draft bias sticking with me. I still just think he's dog water, but I think you're right. He's getting.
So, like, would you rather have Jalen Warren than like Alexander Mattison then?
Yes, a thousand.
See, I would rather have Mattison.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. Mattison is straight up one of the worst running.
I agree. I'm not saying he's better,
and he's not even doing well in his current role. He's actually terrible, and I could totally see McBride just eating carry.
Brian is literally not on the team.
How is
I think
he
you mean Ty Chandler.
Oh, sorry. That's the one. Yes. There you go. But yeah, I absolutely can see that. Also, McBride stays with Vikings on the practice squad. So,
sorry. My apologies to McBride.
Are you still alive? Hey,
threatening from the practice squad.
Tony Jones goes up from the practice squad and scores 2 touchdowns on Monday Night Football. Shout out my guy.
Yeah, that's great. I'll send medicine for Tony Jones.
Oh my God. Alexander Mattison is just absolutely dog water. I'm sorry.
Totally agree.
And he's not even good with this volume. Like, I can't do it. I think no, Madison is so Mike Davis. He's just ugh. Also, can we not be a piece of shit to athletes and their DMs and stuff? Like, you're fucking disgusting human beings if you do that shit. Like, let's just, we talked about this like years ago, but like, don't at players. Let's not, like, you know, get in the DMs and say like horrific stuff. I think you're an absolute waste of human skin if you do that. Yeah, exactly. Tom Lee says, I like Tom's point. Madison will lose job to insert current backup name. Yeah, he's terrible. He's terrible.
I mean, here's the one take for Warren, right? Like, I'll play devil's advocate to myself. This is kind of the case that I've made for Pollard in previous years, which is like, for as long as you have a built-in excuse, well, if we're talking about a running back who's an RB2 that we're betting on talent, the Pollard analogy is pretty on point.
We call it the Pollard theory. I think that has to be
kind of the Pollard theory. Yeah, this is the Pollard theory would state that when you have a running back that has a built-in excuse for why they're not getting the touches, that their market price is actually very insulated. Where like all you have to do is just keep putting up fancy stats and keep doing whatever you've already been doing, and no one blames you for it not happening, and they're all just like looking closer to it happening, right? So like Jalen Warren, barring injury, is actually really, really safe to own right now, because all he's going to do is just gradually accrue value. And then next summer, we're going to be like the, will Ward overtake Harris? And then people will be, you know, whatever. And then it'll all be going into that year when Harris finally got his freaking contract. And then people are like, okay, it's Warren time. And that's when you have to make the decision. Either you have to sell Warren at that point, if it's not going to be Warren time, or you keep it. But I this is kind of the Pollard theory, where it was like, it goes steadily up. It turns out it went way up, and it could have crashed, you know, all the way into the ground. But that's your bet on Warren. So I think, yeah, if you don't need the production, Warren's the safer store of value. He probably will be worth more this offseason. So I understand where you guys are coming from on that. I tend to just want the points.
Fair enough. Nothing wrong with one fantasy points for your fantasy football teams.
Right.
Wild concept there.
Take up a humble offering, man. So just not playing devil's advocate in real life in a court of law.
That's good. Look, I know that I just made this case, but in his defense, you know, haven't we all wanted to shoot somebody one day? You know,
oh, God.
Did he mean it?
Yeah. I mean, I've wanted to. And
that's a good question. Which current backup players would each of you apply the Pollard theory to? I think.
No way.
If you're saying no Warren. We haven't seen enough yet, but like the two obvious candidates eventually would be Tank and Charbonnet.
Yeah, I think those are obvious. Can I put out, and maybe this is going to backfire on me, but maybe a little Josh Kelly? Like, hey, it's limited backups, right? Who could be in explosive offenses that could take over in a year or two. I mean, it's not going to be Spiller. So I'm just thinking, he didn't say good running backs. He just said backups. Okay. So,
but he's already in his last year's contract. So this is the year.
Kelly is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I forgot what year it was. That's my bad. That's on me.
Yeah. I think Tank's probably the most obvious one, out of Charbonnet and Bigsby, but Tank kind of falls into that same like Brian Robinson.
I can't see Tank. But unbelievable. Yeah. Okay. That's players. Okay. We're done with players. We can sit here and just talk players and players and players and players and players for hours on end. And I know maybe you guys want us to do that, but there is other stuff. So we're gonna talk our player picks, which I can profoundly say I am in the lead. I've taken the lead over these absolute scrubs that didn't deserve to sniff the top. So I'm at the top. If you're new here, for player picks each week, every host picks a quarterback and a running back outside of the top 15, a wide receiver outside of the top 20, and a tight end outside of the top 10 of the Fantasy Pros weekly rankings for PPR. We each pick a player. We tally up the scores at the end of that week. We put the scores together and we add it to the running total. Winner gets to pick the drinks served for the other two members of the panel during the live draft show, whether it's going to be day one or day two or day three. We don't know because things are getting busier, obviously, for us in the fantasy space. So night one may not be a possibility. But like last year, we're going to get one in and we will have guests. So the winner of this picks those beverages. Because I was a genius and I had Nico Collins and Russ Wilson, go Broncos. I ended up with a huge week of 58.1 points this week. It wasn't pretty, but Desmond Ridder once again put up 20 fantasy points. I think he could do that again by accident. I think that could be his thing, is accidentally look away and look back, and he has 18 fantasy points. I feel like that's possible. I'm taking Ridder, QB29. The aforementioned Josh Kelly is making his way into my lineup. He has a phenomenal matchup this week. We're going to take that against the Vikings. I'm taking Amari Cooper. He is, for some reason, wide receiver 31. I think even with how bad that offense is, he looked just fine last night when he was quote-unquote injured. Thanks for that, announcing that he won't play, and then next thing you know, he is playing. So thanks for those DFS lineups. Appreciate it. And then, of course, I'm going to take the Ferg Daddy, who's going to take Hate Crime Higby's place as just the weekly passed-around tight end. He's getting some targets, scored a touchdown. That's all I'm hoping for to maintain this lead. Lucas, who are you taking this week?
All right. So my quarterback is Mr. Brock Purdy. It's a little rough. It's a little rough coming off of a week where he didn't throw a single touchdown pass against the Rams. So hopefully he can bounce back. Yeah. No, he did. He is going up against the Giants, who could not contain Josh Dobbs at all last week. Now, Dobbs is definitely more mobile than Purdy, but Purdy has much better weapons. So, well, hopefully we can get some fantasy points there. Isaiah Pacheco for the Chiefs this week. He's currently RB23. George Pickens, with Deontay Johnson being out for at least the next 4 weeks going on IR. Hopefully he can have that at least one explosive play. Be awesome if he can do a little bit more than just 4 catches on 10 targets. But, you know, you'll always take a 60-plus yard touchdown pass. That usually helps make your fantasy week. So that'd be really fun. And then Hayden Hurst, who's been kind of a sneaky play, looks like he is going to be, at least for the foreseeable future, Bryce Young's safety blanket. And I believe they're going up against the Seahawks, if I'm not mistaken there. I like that matchup. I think that there's definitely a chance for him to get some easy points just on dump offs. And I'm playing it safe. Playing it safe. Man. So, yeah.
Okay. I like your opportunity to finish third this week. Jacob?
Hell yeah. This week, hopefully, we're getting back on the right train. Tom took my pick again with Josh Kelly, so he's going to have probably another 30 like Nico Collins just did. But I'm going to take Derek Carr going against the Packers defense. He just gave up 22 points to Desmond Ridder. I'm going to do Jerome Ford. Tough matchup for him with the Titans, but I'm hopeful with a superior run-blocking unit, they can figure that out. I'm taking Nico Collins because I'm not letting anybody take him this week. He gets a potential shootout with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hopefully they have a bounce back game this week. And then the saddest pick of the entire year, it's like an absolute sideshow to this entire season that an NFL team is running their entire offense through this actively rotting corpse in front of our eyes. But I'm taking the corpse himself, Zach Ertz. Somehow has the most targets of any tight end in the NFL, I believe, or the second behind TJ Hockenson. I believe he's most, even ahead of TJ Hockenson. An NFL team that has no designs on contention this year and drafted a tight end in the second round last year has decided the main focus of our season is going to be just funneling the football to Zach Ertz the entire season. It is so tilting to me. It like drives me insane that Zach Ertz is still in our lives. but will take advantage this week against the Dallas pass rush. I expect him to see roughly 86 targets, catched probably 72 of them for a couple of yards.
After watching Trey McBride bust loose on like deep ins, crossers, and win outside the numbers, and seeing him just be amazing, you're right. It sickens me to know that Zach Ertz. But guess who's going into my lineup this week in the league of record? It's the ghost of Zach Ertz. And Tom Lee, corpse of Zach Ertz is the new ghost of Jimmy Graham. And you're right. They gain targets at a rate that is alarming. But I'm going to say I feel pretty confident that I'm going to keep my position of first in the game for this year. I'm feeling probably overconfident. All right, let's go to the Full Tilt Stock Exchange with this one right here. Jacob, can you remind everyone, if they're new, what this is?
Yeah, so the idea is you pick a player, any player in Dynasty, and then we see what happens to their value over the course of time. So if you want to quick sell, you every week you have a chance to lock in your profit or your loss on whoever you've picked so far. Or you can continue to hold and you don't end up realizing the profit or the loss until either the very end of the season or when you decide to sell, whether that is at a profit or a loss. At the end, we total it all up. Whoever has the most net gain in ADP value is the winner of our game. You can only carry a maximum of 5 players at any time. So we're going to play this game every week for the first 5 weeks. I presume we're probably just going to keep adding new players. But once we get to 5, if you want to add somebody else, you have to sell somebody first. Some of us have been trying to think outside the box and actually identify undervalued players. Other people are just like, oh, Puka Nacua didn't have any value. He got 15 targets. I got to take Puka Nacua and take advantage of the ADP leg. So, you know, there's some nefarious activity going on in this game. But anyways, the teams as they are currently is Rashad Bateman and Rashee Rice for me, Evan Hall and Puka Nacua for Lucas, Sam Howell and Chris Olave for Tom. I don't know who I was describing with the incendiary tone, but I'm pretty sure it's Lucas. Who are we adding this week?
To be fair, I did put in my comment after Puka Nacua, because I am unoriginal, somebody has to be the voice of the masses here. And when I don't have an opinion, I will easily take the opinion of the masses. Not quite the masses pick, but still a place where I think that we can see a little bit more value added in the coming weeks, because he's looked really good in his limited role so far with the Tennessee Titans. And that is Mr. Tajay Spears. In limited work so far, he has been really efficient. Looks like he probably deserves some more touches, and we'll see if Derrick Henry can maintain his pace of carries currently. I know during week one, everybody was so excited because he was on the field more than Derrick Henry. I don't believe that was the case in week two, but he still looked really good. So I'm excited for Tajay Spears. I believe right now, at least from the source I was looking at, he's still in the RB30 range, which I'll take.
12 at RB41.
I'll take that.
Tom, yeah, this week I'm Captain Unoriginal, but I feel like I need to win this game with how bad I got.
I refuse to stoop down to your guys' level.
I'm not above this because I need this. I need this win. I have been handled in every other game you came up with so far. So I'm taking the low hanging fruit this week. I really love your pick. I wish I would have thought of your pick, Jacob. I can say that I do love it. But I'm taking Jerome Ford. I mean, if you want to talk about a guy who could gain I'm taking Jerome Ford and his 15-point-per-game potential. I think that he could end up being a dead zone back next year. So that's a big boost. So I'm taking it because I'm not above it. I'm not ashamed of it. As Al Davis once said, just win, baby, win. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, everyone boo Tom. Yeah.
I'm picking Kyron Williams.
No, I'm not, because I have pride. I'm going to finish last, but I have pride.
You have pride, and you just said you're playing Zach Ertz this week. I don't think
you've well, I have pride in this game.
Each other.
I have pride in this game.
In this game. the lawyer comes out of Jacob. All right, he thought he was gonna let that slip by. God.
Yeah, I'll take Jaden Reed, who, you know, just trying to bet on a young player who's looked good instead of being a goof taking Jerome Ford. Give me Jaden Reed. Had 6 targets on 18 routes this week. He's getting used on design plays. I think that when Christian Watson comes back, he starts out with a slotting slot receiver. But if he continues to be the guy that they want to feature in this offense, maybe he winds up taking Romeo Doubs' job as the clear wide receiver too. We will see. Either way, excited about Jaden Reed.
Our highest viewed video ever is still the video with J.J. Zacharyson and Jaden Reed. So full tilt, absolutely not. Very much on Jaden Reed from the jump, and we're happy to see him doing well. Look, we only have one more thing. We have our underdog pick and plays where we each pick one, and we enter that in, and we play that pick. I am not stooping to the low of taking the half yard. The last time I did that, Aaron Rodgers' Achilles went boom. So I'm no longer playing that play ever again out of pure fear of that happening. So this week, I am taking the Nico Collins over receiving at Underdog Fantasy. You can play along with us if you're not already a member of Underdog. Use promo code FULLTILT, FULLTILT. They match your deposit up to $100. It helps us out. So go ahead and do that. Play these bets with us. Nico Collins over 57.5 receiving yards is my underdog pick and play for this week. Lucas?
Oh, mine, I looked at it. Bijan Robinson, 73.5 rushing yards is the line right now. He has eclipsed that in each of his first two contests. And the Detroit Lions, while decent against the run, I don't really fear them that much. It's about middle of the pack. They're averaging, I believe, a little over 90 yards a game right now on the ground allowed. Sure, there's still that time share in the backfield, but I really believe in Bijan Robinson, especially at 73.5 rushing yards this week. Taking the over.
Like that.
Nice.
Like that. Jacob?
I will take Deebo Samuel over 4.5 receptions. Brandon Ayuk is, I don't think, going to play this week, dealing with an AC sprain. If he does, we know what the 49ers deal is. They get to decide ahead of the game. This guy's going to be the feature of the game plan, and this guy's not. And to me, you're playing on a short week against the Giants, who have looked pretty dreadful outside of a furious fourth quarter comeback against the CFL team. Brandon Ayuk's playing. I don't think he's going to be heavily featured in their game plan, putting his health at risk. I think that they can happily win this game over the middle with George Kittle and with Deebo Samuel. So I would pick the overs on either of those guys right now, but Deebo Samuel is going to be my pick.
Love that. We are going to enter that, and we will post as well. If you want a bonus, Ramondre Stevenson, 50 yards rushing. We're going to hit the under on that against the Jets. The Patriots cannot run the football. In week one against a good defense in Philly, Poultry 2.08 yards per carry, 12 attempts, 25 yards. And against a Miami defense that you should be able to run the ball on, 15 attempts for 50 yards exactly. So I would take the under.
And the pity touchdown made me really happy.
Right. So Michael Vencia, hope I said that right. Do we like Nico over this year's rookies, or is that an overreaction to a matchup against the Colts secondary? He looks quite good. We talked about that earlier, I believe, or that was Puka. So let's comp that then. Where are you on the Nico, Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison? Obviously, we're taking JSN.
Probably fits, I guess. Like, I would put him behind the 4 first rounders and Puka, and then ahead of like Mims and everybody else.
Right. I think that's totally fair. I wouldn't disagree with that. Look, phenomenal program. Hour and 20. We had a great time. We expelled the demons to open the program. I feel like we needed to do that. This show has now been cleansed. We are positive vibes only. Moving forward, I think there's going to be no more injuries for the rest of the football season. And when that happens, you can thank us because we expelled those demons. Jacob, I know Thinking About Thinking is your life's passion right now. We love that DFS show. You have a lot. We have 2 pods coming from you and Davis this week. So what do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, you can go online right now and check out my Sunday Drive, which is what I'm calling the first portion of the Hitchhiker's Guide each week. That goes through sort of the main news breaking backfield. So we talk Ford, we talk Kyren Williams, we talked about the new look Ravens, we talked a little bit about the Lions backfield injuries and how Craig Reynolds versus Jahmyr Gibbs could shape up. We're going to come back for the Friday Spotlight show or Spotlight article, where we're going to go into three or four backfields each week more in depth. I'll have watched all of the snaps from that player in that game. I'll have looked through all the data at that point. We'll sort of marry the two together, try to see if our outlook has changed on some whatever backfields I really think are interesting. This week, we're going to talk about James Cook and the Bills. We're going to talk about Brian Robinson and the Commanders. And we're going to talk more about Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery and the Lions. Maybe one other one, we'll see. And then we got the Dynasty Pod coming out. And we'll probably mix in some like Dynasty-focused articles on thinking about thinking on Saturdays from time to time. So probably won't be this week because we're doing a rankings update with the podcast. I would say look for one next week.
Love that. Yep, love that. And of course, I mean, Lucas, you and I, we're just nonstop working, getting more videos coming out. I would like to do a trade show coming up. So if you have some trades, you can drop them in the comment section on here. You can go to the Full Tilt Discord, drop your trades in there as well. And of course, we always tell you this, but I feel like, as I mentioned before, with some of the absolute disgusting stuff that we are seeing on the interwebs, remember there's people on the other side of your screens, and reach out to people, even if you don't know they need it. It's so important all the time, but I mean, people are already going full tilt. There's a reason we call the show what it is, and these last couple weeks are that. Seasons for people are seemingly over in their eyes, and they might need, you know, you might need to check in on them. And again, let's just not be giant pieces of shit on the internet to complete strangers. I think that's important to continuously remind ourselves in this day and age. Whew, I can't believe I have to say it, but we still have to say it. A guy fucking died at the Patriots game. Like, can we stop with this kind? Or I think it's either it was at the Patriots or whatever, the Dolphins game. All right, a dude died because fans started fighting in the stands. Like, can we just not and just be decent human beings? I think that would be wonderful. But that being said, be sure to be back here next week. We're going to be here doing this all over again, probably tilting over the next thing. We might have to expel more demons. Who knows? But for myself, for Jacob, for Lucas, this is the Full Tilt Dynasty Podcast. Remember that clear eyes and full hearts can never lose. Your best days, well, goddamn, they're already spent tilting. Good night, everybody. We'll